Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. April is National Poetry Month, and today we celebrate a little bit more with a few of the Dakota women poets. You can join them in Sioux Falls tomorrow night for a reading at the Siouxland Library's downtown branch. That's at 7 p.m. Central Time. With me in Sioux Falls in the studio, we have Christine Stewart. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Also, Lindy Obach is here with us. Thanks, Lindy.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for this opportunity.
And then in Vermilion, we have Norma Wilson standing by. Norma, hi.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be here.
Hi, Norma.
We are all together now, but this is not the entire group of Dakota women poets by any measure. So, Christine, why don't you tell us a little bit about this group and how it sort of has evolved over time?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was pregnant with my son Xavier, and I was working on a manuscript, and I really wanted some peer response because I really value my feedback from friends and other poets, but I couldn't really travel and I didn't have a lot of extra money, and so I thought, why don't I just make that happen here in Brookings? Like, why don't I just bring people here and we can have a huge workshop? And I started thinking about who I might invite and to keep it kind of focused and people could travel from close by. I just invited some friends and acquaintances that I knew had manuscripts to workshop and I knew would be tactful and nurturing and give really good feedback for everybody. So even if I didn't know them well, I went by their reputation. I invited 9 other women, and 8 of them said yes. And so we're now in our 3rd year.
Wow. And how has the process been to sort of get that many people together, for one thing, who have, you know, your professors, your writers, some of you are mothers, relationships, life, laundry?
Well, the first 2 years was kind of miraculous in that everyone could meet the same weekend. So we all picked a weekend in February as first 2 years, and everyone could meet. This year, it kind of got messed up a little bit where not everyone could meet, not everyone had manuscripts. And then the February weekend we chose, there was that threatened snowstorm. Right. So we've now rescheduled it to next month, and almost everyone can be there again. So it just kind of works out, or it doesn't.
Yeah. Lindy, you first got the note from Christine saying this is what we're going to do. How geeked out were you and excited to participate?
Christine and I were doing a reading together at the Black Sheep Coffee downtown in Sioux Falls, and we were just visiting, and she turned to me and she was like, "You have a manuscript, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, like I have lots of poems, I just haven't done anything with them." She's like, "Great, I want to get a group together, I want this to happen." I was like, "I'm in." So when she sent that, and I was really flattered and honored to be included in this group, so she sent the email and we were like, "Yep, we did it," and it's been a fantastic experience.
Well, one of the great things is the piece that Lindy brought, the manuscript of poems that she brought the first year, then got published after the workshop, which was so exciting for all of us.
That was a super awesome experience. Yeah, I did what they told me to do. I made the revisions, and like 3 weeks later, I sent it out. And a couple months later, they were like, "Hey, you were a semifinalist. We want to publish it." I was like, wow. Boom, done.
Norma from Vermilion, what's your experience with the group?
Well, it's similar. You know, I was at that reading at Black Sheep Coffee, too. And I had become acquainted with both Christine and Lindy's work, as well as the work of the other poets in the group. We have Darla Beal, Marcella Raymond, Jeannie Emmons, Barbara Duffy, and Heidi Sirwisk. And then there's another poet that's going to be joining us this time, Lisbeth Binker Rasmussen. I looked forward to reading all their work and also to their comments on my work, and I had found Christine already so supportive. And I'm just thrilled to be part of the group. I found it also instructive for my work. And although the manuscripts that I brought to the workshops didn't get published. Another manuscript did, and I made use of the critiques I got for the particular poems in that one in the new one. So I think that being part of Dakota Women Poets has been invaluable for me.
Mm-hmm. Christine, I went to one of your panel discussions, and I'm going to forget who you were with that day, but it was at the South Dakota Festival of Books when it was in Sioux Falls one year. And it was something about, you know, I can't even remember what the topic was, but I remember you, and I remember just taking a ton of notes and how much I learned just from that, you know, hour-long or 45-minute, you know, sitting at the sort of the feet of the masters in South Dakota.
Yeah, that was with Amber Jensen and Mary Haug.
Yes, so that's right. Yeah.
I also have a group in Brookings with creative nonfiction and memoir, we meet every couple of weeks.
So I want to talk about just sharing and passing on sort of the knowledge in poetry and in other work, because it's not just in this group that you all are, you know, sort of, you know, working with each other. You also teach and do workshops and publish so people can kind of learn from that work. So Christine, talk a little bit about the importance of sharing knowledge and craft with others in the state.
I feel like I'm passing it forward in some ways. I had amazing mentors and amazing readers of my work and people who shared with me early on who then brought me forward and encouraged me. So I feel like it's part of my mission as a mentor. And also, I always get feedback too, and I always get response or encouragement from everyone else. So it really works. It really works both ways. There's just this great relationship with the other women in the group and with students moving forward, their work forward.
Never stop learning, do you, Lindy? And this, yes. And this, probably in every profession and every craft, but in writing, you really never stop getting to the next level. How do you push yourself forward?
That's a great question. I've had a little bit of writer's block recently, but I am kind of feeling now like the good effects of spring coming out. So I think sometimes just being able to be outside and breathe in the air is something that kind of propels me forward. And like as a kid, you know, growing up in school, I remember those days when we would have authors come in and how important that was to me as a young kid who loved to read and loved to write. And so I think just, you know, trying to spread that through the region, through the community. I've gone to a couple elementary schools to talk about writing, and we do workshops down in Vermilion all the time for high schoolers. So I just remember how important that was to me as a kid. So I'm very happy to be able to kind of see this next generation of writers come up.
Let's have some poetry. Maybe we'll do a little bit of reading now, Christine. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about this book that you're going to read from first.
This book is called Blue Word Screening, and it's based on raising my son, Holden, who has a rare form of epilepsy called Landau-Kleffner syndrome. And because he has trouble processing language and using language, as a poet, I find this fascinating and troubling and heartbreaking all at the same time, so it gives me a lot to write about. So this poem called Lessons in Context is me trying to understand him and get into his head and think about what he might mean when he can't tell me what he means. Lessons in Context. No means maybe. No means you're annoying me with sounds. Can't you see this game right here? Your questions hurt my ears. No means yes if you ask again in 5 minutes. No means I see your moving lips, and so? No means no, sometimes. No means I hate that t-shirt. I'm sick of swallowing chalk. That kid over there smells like pee. No means, I'm thinking, persuade me with marshmallows. No means, sometimes I enjoy pissing you off. No means, you're clueless. You don't know what this is like. Here, I'll throw myself on the ground, screaming and weeping, to give you a little taste.
You're just tuning in. You're listening to In the Moment. That's Christine Stewart reading from her book, Blue Words Greening, and we're talking to some of the Dakota women poets today. April is National Poetry Month, but really on this show every month is Poetry Month. So, and Norma Wilson in South Dakota, every month is really Poetry Month. It's a thriving literary community, isn't it?
It is, and we really appreciate your support, Lori, for poets' work.
Oh, well, we're just getting started. Norma, would you like to read something for us, please?
Yes, I'll read a poem that actually Christine, who is editor of Past Petals magazine, she's on the board of the South Dakota Poetry Society, and I submitted this poem, and she accepted it, and I was happy because it's a poem about a woman whose friendship I greatly valued and whose work I respected. The poem is called Clearing Away the Clutter, Remembering Margaret Quintal. I walk out while frost still coats the leaves of grass, white and sparkling, before the sun shines it wet and red. I wake grateful for another morning, grateful for what moves me, what moves the universe, my heart open to all that live on above and under this earth. The pampas grasses, spruce, cedars, pines, and clear blue sky greet me this New Year's Day without snow. We did not expect a green and brown winter, though we'd been warned of an inconvenient truth, and should have known it would come from the ever-increasing gases spewed by our culture. Like the air, my house is crowded with clutter. I resolve to clean it out, but find by next year's end it's back again. This year, I resolve to clear more space for memories of my mother, who gave me life and taught me love. My husband and lover, who helped me go on living after she died. My son and daughter, who give me and the world comfort and joy. My brother and his music, my sister and her work, all my relatives, my friends, and their art of loving others in our community. The deer, raccoons, possums, eagles, hawks, vultures, turkeys, occasional fox, muskrat, and even the skunks who live with grace. I want to look at the world through their clear eyes. My friend's heart stopped on Christmas Day. I remember her smile, the way she made me feel good about my own life's work. Sun highlights the dust on my desk strewn with notes. I must take care of things, but this year, before I answer the notes, I resolve to write each day and call it a poem. So that's what I did. That's a meditation.
Always bring something that makes me cry.
Oh, no.
True story.
No. I don't know if she knows she's doing that to me, but every single time I have to bite the inside of my cheek to sort of get through the rest of the show. In a couple minutes, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about Past Petals and have more conversation. But before we break, Lindy, would you share something with us as well? This is Lindy Obach.
Absolutely. My next project of writing is I'm exploring relationships between mothers and daughters and grandmothers. So this is a poem about an experience that happened to my grandmother. Red poppies. It is 1949, and I see her. I see her nearing 40 years old and having seen it all. I see her skin like a walnut. I see her streaked silver hair pulled back into a loose bun. I see her leaning into the wind, wearing long pants and boots, a pistol at her sturdy hip. I see her watching the official men set fire to her field of red poppies. I see her watching them with narrowed eyes, lips set in a rigid line. I see her scowl. This is not a prescribed burn. I see her chin tilt upwards to watch the dark smoke sully the summer sky. I see her resolving to replant that field of red poppies in the fall, dropping the little seeds from her broad palms out in plain view, out in the full sun. I see her knowing she has to wait for an October hard frost, knowing the seeds need to be exposed to just one North Dakota wind chill, and then the red will root and bloom and span. Finally, she is left alone after the last official sedan drives off. So I see her kick through the smoking square of burnt, and now I see her smiling. I know she'll sleep tonight dreaming of pistols, of men, of poppies. I know she knows how precious these black ashes are.
That's Lindy Obach. Thank you, ladies. We're going to do another segment with you after the break, so stick around. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, more with the Dakota Women Poets. You're in the moment. SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. We are talking with a couple of the Dakota women poets today. I'm here in Sioux Falls with Christine Stewart. Now Lindy has stepped out. Christine Stewart, poet, author of numerous collections. If I started listing them, I don't think I could list them all. But one of them is called Untrust, and it is one of the book club selections for this year. So, Christine, we'll talk with you now, and then we'll have you back. We'll just talk Untrust. So some folks have gotten that book in their mailbox already, I suspect. And then in Vermilion, we have the great Norma Wilson with us. Norma, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, let's talk about Daily Habits. And Norma's poem sort of put that seed to blossom in my brain. And I'm wondering, Norma, how you sort of handle the daily work, maybe not the right word, but the daily work of being a poet.
Well, that is my play, in a sense, as well as my work. And I start the day with poetry if I can. I prefer to write in the morning. Although, if I have something going, if I have a manuscript going, I can work on it in the afternoon or any time, but it seems that new poems come best for me in the morning. So that's when I like writing best, and it's a pleasure for me to go back. I mean, and I could really relate to what Lindy said about, you know, the difficulty of sometimes of having a block. And I think that the key is to just sit down and write, you know, each day. If you have a certain time, you can do it. I mean, things are going to interrupt. You probably can't do it every day, but I try to.
That's part of the value of being in a group, too, as well. There's a sense of being able to reach out to others and say, I'm stuck, or I'm struggling, or what should I do next? Get that encouragement and, you know, sort of a gentle accountability, yes?
Absolutely, and yeah. I like having a manuscript read by the group. That's wonderful. Mm. And that helps me know whether it's really cohering or whether I need to take some things out and put some other things in or develop it or whatever I need to do, you know.
So I was going to whine about not having enough time for poetry, and then Norma said she starts the day with it, and I realized I started my day with email. So there's my window of opportunity right there. I can't complain. Christine, how do you sort of weave this into your daily life?
Ideally, that would be what I do too, start with it in the morning, but I usually don't now with a small child. So I usually squeeze it in and days I don't teach or between classes from time to time. I like prompts a lot instead of just waiting for the inspiration. I never wait for the inspiration because it's random, but I will sit down, and if I don't have a poem I'm currently working on, then I will look at a prompt and it'll say, you know, look up from your computer and fall in love with the first thing you see. And that produced a poem about a Tyrannosaurus Rex, because when I did that prompt, my child's toys were in front of me. So I like prompts because they get me out of my own head. They get me to look at something I hadn't seen before in a different way. And sometimes they evolve into fun poems, and sometimes they're just drafts that stay drafts forever.
Will you read for us again now?
Sure. I can read that poem. That is in my book, Untrust. evolution. Dinosaur, I have fallen for your tyrant lizard ways. Lording over Triceratops and Stegosaurus on the toy table, you strike fear into Darth Vader's heart. Han Solo escapes, but Skywalker screams inside your pink-painted mouth, your jaw unhinged, even as a toddler hugs your plastic back, tugs your graceful tail's 40 vertebrae. Tyrannosaurus Rex, last land dinosaur alive before asteroids fell, before volcanoes spewed liquid heat, before ash veiled earth in darkness. I love you not because of your 12-inch teeth, your 7-ton ground-quaking step, a heft inspiring chills in the Cretaceous period's bravest hadrosaurs, but because you're misunderstood. Paleontologists lowered your top speed by 32 kilometers. Over conference tables, they slammed down research, come to blows. Some say you are black-bodied, red-headed, that your stink scared competitors away. Others mourn their predator king, ignoring the nobility of those who do what their bodies do best, be it three-toed theropod feet or four limbs of cortical bone. Does it matter if you held your prey immobile? If binocular vision and large olfactory bulbs mean you fed on the nearly or already dead? Under your smooth skin, the corded muscle, some of your bones were too hollow to hold your weight, but are hollowed to humans who study the story of your end. Do they see you, my dearest T-Rex, in the Andean condor? Black feathers spanning 11 feet and soaring, even at 26 pounds, to dine on whale, llama, alpaca. How time limits us, even if only we evolved like you. Instead, we wait for that spark of surety for our gods to give us wings.
Christine Stewart reading from Untrust. The Dakota Women Poets are going to be at the Siouxland Libraries in Sioux Falls. That's the downtown branch, 7 p.m. tomorrow night on Thursday. Christine is here. Lindy Obach was with us. Norma Wilson is in Vermilion with us. Norma, I'm wondering if you would read something for us before we run out of time, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Sure. I wish I had a dinosaor poem because I love it. I wish my grandson could hear that. I'll read it to him.
But I love parent poems. I love poems by parents. That just really always captivates me. I always enjoy the multi-layers.
Well, what was fun for me about that poem, and sorry to interrupt you, Norma, but was that I started to do all this research on dinosaurs after the beginning, and I was like, this is so fascinating. I learned so much about dinosaurs. I can put it into a poem.
Fun.
All right. Norma Wilson, what do you have next for us?
Well, I have another poem about a woman. She lived most of her life in South Dakota, though she was Norwegian. And this is a poem called Weaving Woman, Remembering Greta Bodegaard. Phenomenal weaver of yarns and grand constellations of beauty and truth. Disaster reminds us how we are bound each to the other by love. Like Penelope, you left one colorful weaving unfinished in your loom as your brain, an adventurous seafarer started following stars up the Milky Way road. Infinity took you back, and now we recall how you honored Anna May, her body slain on sacred earth, her hair caressing the river so precious to you. Now we wear the scarves you gave us and look to your milagros for healing. I have a little note after this poem, which also is going to be in the next issue of Past Petals. Milagros is the title of a weaving by Greta Bodegaard, and the weaving depicts the germination of bean seeds, recognizing the miracle of new life emerging from seeds that were planted by Mexican migrants. She was a great weaver and artist, and many of us knew, we were lucky to know Greta, and she was a wonderful storyteller. She truly wove yarns as well as yarns and stories, as well as in her tapestries. So.
Yeah. Christine, a little bit about Pasque Petals for folks who might want to submit or read that work. We just have about a minute.
Pasque Petals is our state poetry journal from South Dakota State Poetry Society. We publish it twice a year. The deadlines are August 1st and February 1st. You can go to sdpoetry.org to our website and find this links to submit. I always ask for information about how you're connected to South Dakota. You don't have to live here, but some connection is ideal because we'd like to keep it a place for South Dakota-focused poems.
A wonderful publication. It's really always a pleasure when it arrives at the house. And Christine Stewart, Norma Wilson, Lindy Obach, I want to say thank you to all of you for being here today. The Dakota Women Poets, you can hear a joint reading in Sioux Falls at the Siouxland Library's downtown branch tomorrow at 7 p.m. Thanks for being here, Christine.
Thank you.
Norma, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Lindy, you're in your car. Thank you. She's listening and she's shouting back to us.